Love beyond measure. It's amazing to see it. I want to come from this scene right here of Mary and the angel. And if you have a Bible there, turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. If you don't have a Bible, there are pew Bibles in your pews there, red Bibles. Take it out, Matthew, Mark, Luke, New Testament, Luke 1. This is the Christmas story. Luke 1, verse 26. Mary's here, normal day. Most of the historians say is maybe she's 15, 16, somewhere in there. She's engaged to be married. Her life is full of that and full of the thoughts. And all of a sudden, Luke 1, verse 26, the angel Gabriel was sent from God, I like that, unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Israel, Galilee, Nazareth, Mary. I want you to know you're important to God. Is that right? America, Indiana, Elkhart, you. And Catch it. God specifically sent it to her, Mary. And it said, to a virgin, verse 27, a spouse engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Two individually right here with her. She was a young lady. She was not married, and she was planning on getting married, and everything was great. Verse 28, everything changed. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. I trust you know the Lord's with you today. Blessed art thou among women, not above women, but among women. This angel visit changed her life right here. And she was troubled. Look at the next verse. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, what? If an angel appeared to you, would you be afraid? My goodness. And here she's a teenager and in her life of marriage and engagement and the wedding and everything. And all of a sudden an angel says, Hello, God's with you. You're highly favored. And then he said this. Verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Catch all of this. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. God's going to become man. God's going to leave divinity and enter humanity. A miracle. A miracle of miracles. And he says, and you're going to be the one. And here she doesn't understand. She's not married. She's never known a man. She is engaged. She's all the wedding. And all of a sudden she's going to have a baby. And she's going to be shamed. She's going to be ridiculed because she's not married. And, you know, how'd you get this baby? Well, God gave it to me. Can you understand where she was coming from? She was going to go through a tough life. How did she do this? How did this teenager with life all ahead of her in the right family of David and all of this and the line of David and everything's going good and Joseph, a great man and everything, and all of a sudden a baby and she's not married and Joseph had problems with that and it was wow, how did she make it? How did she make it? And she said this. Verse 33, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there be shall no end. Verse 32, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest Divinity, God in flesh, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He's going to be a king. He's going to be a ruler. He's going to be forever. And little Mary said, look at verse 38, and Mary said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed her. She believed. She accepted it. God, I don't understand it. And all of a sudden, life is totally changed. The wedding won't be as nice as a wedding. People won't understand. And here I'm going to have to go through life, and people will think that illegitimate or whatever. And I don't understand. But Lord, you're good. You're God. You're for me. You come all the way from heaven to Israel, to Galilee, to Nazareth, to me. And you're good, and I accept what you're doing because you're God. And it's amazing. And in verse 46 to 49, she speaks in praise and said, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. And he hath regarded the low estate, the humble estate of this of his handmaiden. And behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." You know, she could have been there, and the angel spoke and said, "You're going to have a child from highest," and she could have just went, maybe. She could have said, "No, I don't believe you," but she said, "I'm in. I'm all in. I'm committed. I'm trusting you." How could Mary do this? How could she come into the issue of saying these things and realizing, God, you're there. You're there. The verses in the Old Testament had to come to her mind. Let me just read these. In Exodus 34, verse 4, it says, "And he hewed two stones, and the first, as at the first, and Moses rose up early and went in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai, and the Lord had commanded him, and took his hands and the two tablets of stone, and God descended in the cloud and stood with him and proclaimed," made himself known, "in the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful, gracious, long suffering, slow to anger, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy to thousands, forgiving iniquity and the transgression of sin, and that it will be by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity." He'll punish unbelievers, guilty. "And Moses made haste and bowed his head and worshiped." In the New Testament, 1 Timothy 1:17, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." How did Mary take this change of life and believe it? Put the next slide up. Because God is who He is. I trust you know who God is. I've written out some attributes of God. I have it printed on the back out here. It looks like this, what God is like. Very good there on the back table there, the communion table for you to pick up. But what is God like? And I just wrote some things down here. You know, this love beyond measure. Mary knew who God was, and thus she could take that questionable, how can this be, you know? I don't understand, but God, I trust you, be it unto me as you plan. I accept your plan, and because I trust you, because God is loving. You know, God is love. You know, love is not God, but God is love. And it's very important that we understand this, and it's love beyond measure. One man wrote this, it says, "We know of accounts that parents risk and or sacrifice their lives for their children, or firemen or policemen risk or sacrifice their lives for one trapped in a fire, or a soldier jumps on a hand grenade to save the life of his buddies. But God's sacrifice," this is really good, "God's sacrificial love would be similar, though far more sacrificial, to us jumping on a hand grenade to save a terrorist who just killed our wife and children. That's love beyond measure. And you say, wow, God is love. God is all powerful. He's omnipotent. He is almighty. God speaks and things happen. God has the power to create anything from nothing. He has power over death. His resurrection power is immeasurable. It's great. Nothing is too hard for Him. God is ever present. He's omnipresent. He is, He was, He is to come. He is right here, right now for all of us, because God knows everything. He's omniscient in thoughts. He knows our thoughts, our motives, our outcome. God is sovereign. He has the power to do all that pleases. He pleases to do. No one can stop Him. You know, He controls times and seasons. He determines over the affairs of people. He has plans to make people, plans for people that will happen, and He will carry them out. The Creator looks after His creation. He alone is sovereign. God is holy and truthful and righteous. He cannot lie. You know, He's perfect, absolutely perfect. He has eternal standards, and they're all true. God is just. God is always fair. God is righteous. God is trustworthy. God is reliable. God is merciful. He forgives. He restores our joy of our salvation and makes us willing to obey. As a father, He even corrects us because we're His beloved children. He's merciful. He's faithful. He keeps His promises, and He never changes. God never changes. God is consistently throughout all time. God is good all the time. He doesn't lie. He is truthful to His word. His love is never ends. God is eternal. God is immortal. You know, God never had a beginning, never ends, exists every way. He's holy, holy, holy. He's self-existent, absolute reality, independent and self-sufficient. He's all-wise. He works everything out for our good, for His people. Even when we look the worst, God is carrying out His perfect wisdom. He never fails, never lacks any foresight, and never estimates. He does the impossible. He's a God of order. He's a God of beauty. It's awesome to catch it. He's a gracious God. He pardons our sin. He's good. He's patient. Isn't God good? She knew all of this. That's why she said, I don't understand what's going on, and I'm young, but I know You're God, and You're good, and You're all powerful, and I'm going to trust You no matter what goes on, because You're a great God. And it is wonderful to catch that. Then the last one is, God is personal. He's not only massive and the Almighty and all out there and Creator and Controller. He's right here. He's personal. I trust you know this. This is good here. It says He's personable. He's knowable. He's touchable. He's lovable. He's my God. He's my security. God, it's from A.W. Tozer. God interacts with you and me and everyone in a way that is always and forever loving. God has allowed His heart to be emotionally identified with us. Think about that. He wants our love. He has let His heart be bound to us forever. Love is what permeates and fills everything about God. God is eternal, then love is eternal. God is infinite, then love is infinite. God is holy, then love is holy. And God is patient, thus His love is forgiving. Then His love is patient and forgiving. His love is vast and measureless as God Himself. So His love is as big as He is. This is the God that Mary knew, and thus she could trust forever in everything she did, and it was wonderful. In 2 Samuel 22, verse 31, it says, as for God, His way is perfect. Wow. The word of the Lord is tried. It's proven true. He is a buckler. He's the protecting shield of all them that trust him. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and maketh my way perfect. Psalm 46, it says, God is our refuge, my refuge and strength, a very present, ever-present help in trouble. Therefore will I not be afraid, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the sea, I'm going to trust God. Do you have the God that Mary had? Yes. Yes. Is that right? Yes. And we can trust him in our day. We have troubles. Each of us have different troubles. Joseph had a different situation. Mary had a different situation. The shepherds had a different situation. The wise men, Mary and Joseph, had a different situation. But they knew who their God was. They knew how big he was, how close he was, how real he was. And they trusted him. That's what Christmas is all about. It's what Christmas is all about, to understand that that is nice. The attributes of God. These are just not things that we make up, because, you know, trust in him, his timing. Rely on his promises. Wait for his answers. Believe in his miracles. Rejoice in his goodness. Relax in his presence. Is that right? Beth Moore, put the next one up. Beth Moore wrote this. In her book, Believing God, it says, God is a big God. God is who he says he is. God can do what he says he can do. I am who God says I am, forgiven, loved. I can do all things through Christ. God's word is alive and active in me. I expect God to show up in my life today. That was Mary. That was Mary. That was Joseph. The wise men, shepherds, Joseph and Mary. It is very important. This is what makes Christmas Christmas. This is the love that is beyond measure. You can't have true love without the one that loves being the Almighty, merciful, gracious, eternal, sovereign. Once you have that and you know that, then you can handle cancer. Then you can handle divorce. Then you can handle troubles. Then you can handle sickness. Then you can handle just trials and tests. Is that right? Because you got a God. How did this 15-year-old girl just take this life and accept it, and with all of the mistrust and suspicion, and she just... Be it to me as the Lord says. She knew who God was. Big, almighty, close, near, personal, fair, merciful, gracious, loving, forgiving, almighty, all-powerful, creator. I trust him. That is love beyond measure. Do you have that? Do you have God living with you? He's personal. He is with you, with us at all times. It is wonderful to catch his personalness and to realize he's knowable, he's personable, he's touchable, he's lovable, he's mine. And the God of the world wants to spend time with me, walk and talk with me, give me peace, give me joy. In the midst of trials and testings and problems, we have him, yes, but I have God. That's why Christmas is great, and it's love beyond measure. Every head bowed, every eye closed, talk with me a second here. It's Christmas time, folks. Christmas is more than tinsel. Christmas is more than a man in a red suit. Christmas is Jesus, the King of Kings, becoming a babe, entering human, living, loving, obeying, doing miracles, dying, saving our souls, rising, ascending to heaven, coming back. We're saved from our sins because of who he is and what he did. And he's the Almighty. You can trust him. But but you got to personally take him. He's the forgiver of all sins, but you got to repent and claim him and trust him and let it come alive in your life. And then every day get a knowledge that the Almighty is going to show up today. I don't know how, but he's going to show up because he's for me. And he is the Almighty. And the Almighty is for me. I trust you know you're saved. I trust there's been a time in your life when you asked Jesus to save your soul. If you have not, you need to do that. That's the Christmas present. That's the love beyond measure. He loved us when we were unlovely. That's why he died. And he had to die because we're sinners. Either you pay for your own sins in hell forever, or you trust him that he took your payment, and that's how you get to heaven. It's love beyond measure. If you're not sure of that, don't leave here without talking to somebody. That is so important. Do get the greatest Christmas present of all, and that's Jesus saving a sinner from all of his sins. The greatest. If you need to talk to somebody, don't leave. Talk. There's papers almost in every table called Peace, Purpose, and Joy. Get it and read it till it comes alive in your life. And Jesus saves your soul because it's love, love, love beyond measure. Lord Jesus, bless the program. Touch every person here. Help them to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.